Rebozos are long rectangular shawls that came into style in Mexico in the 16th century, worn by men and women, practical and versatile. You can get married in a rebozo. You can wrap your baby in a rebozo. They carry your luto, your grief. And at the end of your life, they can be your shroud. Rebozos and the huipil, a woven and embroidered blouse or dress, are the two main elements of Mexican traditional dress. Jackie Lydon has been taking a look at clothing this year in her series, The Seams. She brings us this story about the past and future of traditional garments in Mexico, which designers are reinterpreting.
It's just a small shed, partly open to the sky, where about a half dozen men stand behind huge wooden looms, peddling side by side. Their churning feet make a beautiful harmony. This tiny rural workshop represents one thread of a supply chain that loops from Mexico's plains and mountains to catwalks from Tokyo to Amsterdam. I've been brought to this back alley in Tenancingo, 2 hours from Mexico City, by one of the country's leading designers, Carla Fernandez. She takes these handmade textiles and manipulates them into something contemporary.
So this is a rebozo.
She unfurls a blue and white fringe shawl, intricately loomed into a tight herringbone pattern nearly 8 feet long.
And then we just make these cuts, and you can use it as a vest, and then you can turn it upside down, and you will see that it becomes more as a blouse or a sweater.
On the body, it's sculptural and edgy. Laid flat, though, the finished garment keeps its rectangular shape.
And also, we leave the fringes of the rebozo so you can actually see that this is all handmade.
Mexico's rich, raw fabrics, cotton, shaggy sheep's wool, even rough ishle from cactus fiber, attracted Fernandez as a teen. Indian women in remote villages wore these fabrics themselves, but the ones they sold weren't as elaborate.
I used to tell them, no, I don't want this huipil, I want the one like the one you're wearing.
Now 41, Fernandez travels constantly to collaborate with indigenous weavers from Chiapas to the Yucatan. In special workshops she offers, weavers can develop new skills or learn to market their old ones. Hundreds of miles away from the rebozo workroom in the mountains of northern Oaxaca, Fernandez has been invited to the city of Tuxtepec to see if local weavers want to become her suppliers. Some of the weavers here speak only a tonal dialect called Chinatec and demonstrate a backstrap loom, which ties around the waist to a pole. Fernandez is surrounded by women in long braids, wearing bright red huipils. Their huipils are woven with symbols, like the tree of life or creation myths of light and darkness. Traditionally, indigenous weaving tells a story.
I'm asking her what is that, and it's a pyramid of Mitla.
And those look like thunderbirds.
There's so much cultural significance attached to these garments that issues of historic racism and exploitation can't help but come up. 34-year-old Marta Sukanostli is a local activist.
What do you think about designers like Carla coming to communities? You've invited her here, I know, but, you know, and working with these women.
Well, at the beginning, I was like, who is this designer who is coming? Because as communities, we protect ourselves, like back in those times and the conquerors, you know? Yeah. Like giving a mirror and doing some not fair trade. So speaking of Carla in particular, I took my time to Google her.
Caution comes from centuries of exploitation.
To be an Indian is to be at the lowest link in the chain.
Anthropologist Marta Turok specializes in Mexican textiles. She helped Fernandez establish fair trade practices. When Turok began her research decades ago, nearly all indigenous women wore huipils. But as more and more children assimilated and went to school, plaid skirts and acrylic sweaters became mandatory.
And the next thing you know, boom, boom, goodbye braids. Do you think that young girl is ever going to wear a huipil? Probably not.
Since the Zapatista rebellion in the 1990s, the Mexican government has made some attempts at reform, including recognition of indigenous cultures. Even so, says anthropologist Marta Turok, a critical concern is that in seeking new markets, the artisans might compromise their heritage.
Once the designers came in, or the nonprofit organizations or whatever, or even the government organizations, you created a situation of dependency. The artisans became dependent on a third person. And that third person could control the raw material and say, here, I'll give you the raw material and I'll just pay you for your labor. So one of the questions is, who is in control of the production?
To answer this question, Carla Fernandez and I drive into the mountains past cool green groves of trees laden with mangoes on our way to meet another group of artisans.
Do you know if you can work with these women yet or not?
We'll try. I mean, we have the contacts. This trip is very important for us because we'll have the contacts of the weavers and the artisans, and then we'll get back to the city and reach them through email, through phones, and then we'll know exactly what we can propose.
In the tiny community of San Pedro Izcatlan, we pull up outside the hilltop home of Rosina Sarmiento, age 65. Inside, she opens a cabinet overflowing with bright, beautifully embroidered fabrics created in the Mazateca style.
What do you think, Carla? I have a lot of these ones at home because I love them.
Birds, flowers. Fernandez checks out bedspreads and cloths, holding them up against her body.
The embroidery is so fine that it looks that it's painted. Mm-hmm. You know, if you see it from far away, you don't know if it's a print. And then you come very close and then you see that it's amazingly embroidered.
If Fernandez decides to place an order with Sarmiento, she'll pay half up front and half on delivery. The hand-embroidered flowers or parrots might end up on a miniskirt in Fernandez's Mexico City boutiques. But is it traditional?
What they do for the tourists is not traditional either. You know, these are the communities that want to do like new designs. Those are the ones that we work with.
Increasingly, younger indigenous weavers wielding cell phones and business cards seem happy to have their handiwork on the world stage, says Fernandez.
They know how to do backstrap loom. Who in the world, like young people, know how to do backstrap loom? Very few. But something that it makes you very unique is like those things that your grandparents taught you. I think the new generations are pretty into it.
27-year-old Milagros Ortega is part of the next generation and a full-time weaver. A backstrap loom of red thread is strung across her patio in the community of Ojitlan. She's intrigued by Fernandez, she says, but she won't stop weaving repeals for herself. These are our roots, she says, meaning our history, our patrimony. You can see this weaving and Carla Fernandez's designs this summer at Boston's Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. Fernandez herself will give a workshop in August, along with a young weaver from Chiapas who told me, "When I weave, I think how each person represents to me a human in the universe. There are as many humans as threads. There is no end." For NPR News, I'm Jackie Leiden.
To see photos and video from Jackie's trip to Mexico, you can visit our website, npr.org/theseams.